Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
The only way you get more comfort when you sleep is to get a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 40% off the bundle package. Also, if you just want 30% off everything in the entire store, just type in the promo code drinkingbros at checkout. And then you can put sheets in there. The pillows, the cooling pillows are amazing, especially because it's a million degrees here in Texas. So is the cooling mattress, which you can also put in the cart and get 30% off if you just want just the mattress or just the adjustable base. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
And we're live.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Welcome to Drinking Bros.
No, this is France Press.
France Press.
Drinking Bros.
Drinking
Bros.
This is France Press.
Yeah,
dude.
This is the old school. This is
sure
for
is.
Some of you that have never experienced the garage days. That's what France Press is about.
Sure is. And we were just talking about garage fucking days, Lance Liggett.
You know, we were.
I have a question about the title, guys.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Is it French as in like ranch but with an F?
No. This is a French press.
You
there, Giorgio.
It's the country of
Giorgio,
France.
You don't understand. It was episode 3.
Sure was.
After we moved away from my kitchen table, first we did 2 back-to-back episodes the first night as a test.
Yeah.
It was 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
In the year of 2015. Why? Because I told Ross that when we launched this movie and people Googled us, we should have a fucking podcast.
Yeah, and so we shot it. We did the whole thing. And
we didn't shoot video. It was just audio.
That's
remember,
right.
Well, we didn't think it would work.
I have video on my side. You know that, right?
Yeah, because you were just on, you were single on camera. We had 3
right,
on
so I had to go
side.
To a recording studio to do it in Wilmington. And
this is before then.
When?
You're on your laptop for episode 1. In your house.
I don't know
on
that I
your
was.
Phone. Yeah.
Because I don't think I trusted it. I think I was at this guy's studio, and I believe I have a picture of it. And it was all red, and we did the whole thing and whatever.
That came like almost 4 or 5 months later.
Like
that first one.
I don't think so.
Jared, after the accident, some things get rearranged.
No.
There's no
accident,
friend.
You didn't meet those boys until you started looking for a studio because of we faced so many connection issues.
Maybe.
Because remember in the beginning shows, we would drop, and we would have to start back over.
Yeah.
And that's when you were like, I'm going to go find a fucking studio.
Yeah,
like, and then you met the guys that were like, ran that big YouTube channel, and they made those funny fucking
music things.
You're like, dude, this place is perfect. They knew everything they needed to know.
It was great. I also remember in the render process, it was like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
3 or 4 hours. And so I had to sit there in the studio just to do one episode, and that was a pain in the ass. And I was like, holy shit. You guys were getting rocked in the garage in El Paso. And then
garage didn't come until probably episode 30.
Okay.
So remember, like, we had that set up in my little editing room with the little hand mic fucking things.
That's right.
Because that was like the first time we had Evan on was when we were, and that was when I came out with the Giorgio. That's what it was.
That was the French press.
I came into the room with a French press full of vodka soda. And it's jiggling around.
You got
in the
blackout
mic,
drunk, yeah.
And he's like, what is that? Like, what are you doing over there? Because he can't see us.
For sound, yeah.
Yeah. And
by the way,
like,
you're the only one that has a problem with these microphones.
Why?
You've got to put stickers on them. You move it so much because you're into it that it's like, it just rests there. It's pretty, there you go. Pretty easy, right there.
I hate it.
No, you don't have to move it around. You don't have to do one single thing.
We can get
just
a guy to hold it.
Just a dude
just
that sits over here holds the
that
mic.
Just holds a microphone so, in front of him.
So, yeah, I jiggle this fucking French press up into the microphone, and I'm like, he's like, what is that? I go, it's a French press.
Yeah. And the only problem was everywhere we went, people wanted you to drink a French press in front of him. And I was like, hey, if he does, he's going to get blackout drunk.
Yes.
Just know that, and we can't control whatever's going to happen.
There are at least, Giorgio, there's at least probably 10 shows out there that I did laying on the floor.
Yep.
Like,
I mean, directly.
I have a microphone in my hand. I'm laying on the floor.
Yeah. Blackout drunk.
Blackout.
So what you're saying blackout is drunk. Barnes Courtney copied you when he did that on Drinking Bros.
Ooh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
laid on the floor high on acid.
Man, that was a crazy show. We love Barnes Courtney
on
Barnes
here. Barnes is great.
He's got a new, I think he's got a new album out. I just saw a video for him the other
I'm
day.
Just glad to know that he copied Jared, though. Like, all of this comes back to Jared.
Definitely did.
Yeah.
Because he called me afterwards and he goes, hey, dude, should we publish that episode? And I go, yeah, we're fine. Jared used to do it all the time. And he goes, oh, all right, well, fuck it. And he was great. So.
I mean, I was laying on the floor for the fucking 100th episode, too, at one point.
Oh, yeah.
I got so fucking rocked.
But those guys fucked for a long time.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, I thought you meant you got on the floor like you got into it with them.
No.
Well,
I was just laying on the floor.
There was a possibility, I think, later on in the evening.
Yeah, if we wanted to.
Yeah,
we could
for you. I'm married, obviously. My wife was there. But.
I mean, were you at the time?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I was, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't know, right? We've been doing the show for 7 years. Because at this point, this is, by the way, this week is the anniversary of 7 years.
Yes.
So we've been doing this
November
for 7 years.
Since 2015.
Right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. This is it. And this is when the episode is. So, yeah, dude, 7 years of this. Mm-hmm. And the wild thing is I love doing podcasts. I hate the rest of the business stuff. And, like, I think we were talking about that with somebody else. I was like, man... Yes, I just want to get drunk all day and then have somebody drive me home, but you can't do that.
Nobody wants to go to class in college.
I know.
No.
Right?
No. You just want to party, and that's kind of it, right?
Yeah, I didn't come here to play school.
No, you sure didn't.
Those episodes, though, holy shit. Have you ever even dared to go back there at all?
Probably. There's so many.
Of course. Well, Jared, I watched the entire back catalog.
No,
I went
did
back
not.
And I studied every episode.
No.
I had to learn who these people were.
No,
to,
you
to
didn't.
Capture
because
their
you would know. It was a fucking wild wasteland back then.
Oh, yeah. Well, it still is now. It just depends on what it is and why, right? Because you're talking about different things that are important or not important or whatever the fuck it is. The thing is, though, this is how things
have changed. Like, now it's like, you know, we do get caught up in current event things. It's like, oh, God, you see what Elon did? You see what this happened? You see what this
but
happened?
But I think you have
but
to.
Back then, but that was the thing.
Right.
Back then, that wasn't what the show was like. That wasn't what we were about at all.
Well,
like, you remember? Like, we were coming up with, like,
100%.
You know.
Well, you know why, right?
Just because podcasts were new.
Well, they were new. One, two, it was 2015. Trump or any of that stuff wasn't running.
No, nobody gave a fuck.
No, and comedy was still kind of comedy then, so you could do whatever you wanted to. And I had this, I forget who, I did somebody else's show, and they were asking me, how has the show changed over the years for better or for worse, right? And I said, look, I don't think you could have, because when COVID happened, we went 5 days a week. Because there were so many first responders and military that were working every day that didn't have anything and they asked.
And you got numbers fucking shot up.
100%. And so then you become everybody's daily driver, morning and afternoon. Well, to stay current, you've got to talk about current events. I think if you did a show where you're just talking about dudes fucking other dudes 5 days a week, people would get sick of
you. You're not
going to
do that 5 days a week.
Can't.
No. But I mean, back then, dude, we were once a week
once
for
a week.
While.
So for once a week, sure, who cares?
And I mean, I remember... loading the first two episodes, 500 listens on each.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
500 fucking people listen to our fucking podcast. And then, like, by the end of the month, we were at 1,100 average.
Oh, yeah. Georgie, I'm going to send you a couple pictures here to put on screen. Since we're at the 7-year anniversary here, I'll text them to Bob. For advertisers, had to screenshot all of this stuff, so I have all of the numbers.
Oh yeah, back in the day, dude, I have all
for
those.
Every like, single year.
Like when we first got to number two, we got to number two overall once. It was Joe Rogan,
us,
and then guys we fucked.
Right for like 2 years. I mean, it was a long 2 years. It was like, oh shit. Do you remember those first charts look like?
Oh yeah, I've got them.
The pictures were awful.
I mean, you remember what our first first icon was?
I know. I've got so much fucked up shit on my phone. I wish it was just readily available here. The first icon was.
It was the forehead or three? Yeah, foreheads.
Yeah.
And the mug, the old mug, the group mug. And then probably about 3 months later is when I had Jay redesign the current logo that is the microphone mug.
How'd you meet Jay?
Jay Acosta?
Yeah. Jay, I'm a big fan of Jay's work.
What?
I'm a big fan of Jay's work.
Oh, dude, I have been working with Jay since 2013.
But he's in another country.
Yeah, he's in the Philippines.
Right. So how did you meet this man?
I went on 99 Designs, the website.
I've heard of 99 Bananas.
99 Designs is like you put up I'll pay $300 for a piece of a graphic art. Here's what I want. And it was for the Guns Prevent Dolphin Rape shirt off of Article 15 Clothing.
Oh, yeah?
It's a great shirt.
And he came back with that illustration. I presented him the winning the thing, because that's how the website works, is the best designer, you know, gets the payment and then you get the art. I emailed him immediately or sent him a message through the system that was like, hey, could I just have your email? Because I think I'll just go direct from you for art. And we have been using Jay for Article 15 art since 2013.
We will never say his last name because we don't want him to get stolen.
We said it earlier in this episode.
Yeah. No, not his last name.
No.
No, we never said his last name. Bob, I just texted you two photos. We'll put those on the screen now since it's the 7-year anniversary. The first one was the original charts on Apple, what they used to look like. And it was,
let's see what I got over here.
It was Joe Rogan and then us for like 2 years. And then Guys We Fucked. And
Guys We Fucked came
Giorgio, you were here when we actually had Guys We Fucked on the show.
Yeah,
we
did.
We had Corinne on. Yeah, we had Corinne
on
the show.
Dude, did she say that I used to talk to her all the time?
She did not.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't ask about you at all.
That's pretty fucked up, man. I mean,
she
I don't
wasn't
know.
That friendly,
no,
but
she
like
never
back
was.
In the day, like, back in the day, I think she wanted to fuck you. I think like
but
that
I
was
would
the
talk
thing.
To her a lot, like because it was like again, like the podcast world was so small. Like I was consistently like, oh, dude, I just saw you guys fucking got a number one. Oh, congratulations! Like,
right, Bob, do you got him?
They're loading.
Okay, loading into the computer. Gotcha. But yeah, so when we had her on, I was like, oh, hey, remember back in the day? And it was always, and I will say this, like all of our shows have held up. They've been consistent and everything else. They did a deal with Luminary. So they're exclusive behind them. But so here's the original.
No,
so,
that's even phase two.
Okay.
I've got to find you phase
well,
one.
Pop that up. So like we were number two behind Rogan for like 2 years. And that's when, like, we didn't know what...
see that, Guys We Fucked right there. Yeah.
And there it is, number
what
four.
What the fuck? The Nerdist?
Yep.
Like,
Mark Maron, all those guys. And, like, we didn't know... There was no... We didn't know what reviews were, any of that stuff. And I know the audience is sick of me saying it at the end of every show. But that ended up becoming a thing later on. That was 2015. And then, Bob, pop up the next photo there, because I just screenshot all the numbers for advertisers. So... This was, we were with Libsyn. Libsyn
yeah.
was
well,
our first
was our,
account.
No, second. We had somebody before Libsyn because you migrated us to Libsyn in 2016.
That's right, because Mark Maron's people told us
yeah.
we were.
Yep.
And that was, pop that up one more time, Bob, because I think that's when we crossed 1 million listeners in a month maybe, or at the time. What does it say there? It's
that's
too far
all,
away.
All time. Okay. You had crossed 9 million all time at this point in time.
Damn.
And did we cross, what, 1 million a month or something like that? At that
these
point?
Were at 7,800.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So right now, yeah, June was 780,000. July was 871,000. And then going up, we crossed 1 million listeners a month 2 months later after this, because I think that was like episode 100. And we had two people fucking live on air and everything else.
Yep.
But since then, all the ratings have changed now because of privacy and phones, where they can't track your phone for more than 45 days. So it's kind of based on like unique listeners and everything else. And it was like, Well, that kind of fucks all of us, and that was the point for advertisers and all that shit.
I'm trying to find. I think I have a few good ones in here. I'm looking for them
from
right
back
now.
In the day.
Well, I want to find the original logo.
Oh, the original was kind of sketched out. It was very light. It wasn't like that, but this is the first one I remember when we were number two, and that I like that logo.
Yeah,
that was a fun logo for a long time. Because you can't really switch. And that's another thing about podcasting.
But we have.
But Mark Maron has never switched. Who else? Bill Burr. Go look at Bill Burr's logo for his show. It's still him when he was doing stand-up when he was like 28 years old. And you're like, you don't even have any hair now. And it's still the same logo. Because you're worried about switching and if people will get used to it or not like it or whatever it is. But yeah, if you go look up Bill Burr, what is it? The Monday morning... What's his show?
Monday Morning Podcast.
Yeah.
And he also have a Thursday Monday Morning Podcast
right,
as well.
Right, so pop up that picture. Look at Bill Burr.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When he had hair. He had full head
it's
of hair
never
back
changed.
Then. And he's still got the same logo. Because you're worried about, oh, man, will people know or whatever. And, yeah. We've changed logos a few times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, got the animations done, started. God, this is fucking taking forever to load, but.
Well, you and I have so many fucking photos.
That's what I'm saying.
Phone.
Both of you are just so popular. It's really hard to find anything.
It's not that. So not, for production. Yeah.
Mine stops in 2018.
Well, no, we'll let the audience in on this because we've had a few drinks, obviously. When you take these photos, even with guests, you'll take like 10, pick your favorite, and then it's like, all right, great. I'm not going to go back and delete the other 9. I think on my phone, I've got close to 15, 20,000 photos. I'm sure you're the same. I'd buy this stupid goddamn thing.
28,000.
For the terabyte.
You got to get those numbers up, boy. Those are rookie numbers.
I know. I know.
God, man.
My Lightroom has over 120,000 photos in it.
Does it really?
Are you a photographer?
He is a photographer.
Not anymore.
Yeah. No, you are. You just did somebody's concert, what,
I did
2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
3 weeks ago?
Yeah, but you know, the man belongs here. The man belongs on French Press.
Yeah.
French Press.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
Is it dumb of me to thinking that you had some crazy acronym playing on French Press that had something to do with ranch and or anal sex?
No, that's not dumb of you. it's one of those things. It's one of those things. It's been so historical. Like everyone in the Drinking Bros world understands France Press.
Oh yeah, they do.
France.
Yeah.
They do now.
Well, yeah, they have for
seven years.
I'm trying to rehype the new show again. I'm trying to.
The new logo?
But that's
pull
the whole
up the
thing.
New logo.
Do you have the new logo back there?
Yeah.
Pop it open.
Are we using
French
that
Press logo?
Are we using that now?
We should.
I've got an animator making our fucking intro.
Yeah, yeah. We are 100% going to use that. When is he done with it?
We should see it very, very soon.
Okay.
I promise.
And I'm looking forward to that.
God,
and to that point, by the way, everybody still ask about Lead Slingers.
Yeah.
Like, hey, dude, are you still drinking Lead Slingers?
Oh, yeah.
Are you filling up?
I mean, dude, it's still sold everywhere.
It is. Even in my, because I get a place in Carolina Beach, even in that tiny town, it
dude,
is still
and every liquor store I see it in, I always ask, hey, does this move? They're like, actually, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Nobody's ever bitched, and a lot of people still say Range 15 on that.
Yes.
Speaking of which, you know who was in here the other day?
Who?
Nick Palmisano.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Nick was here. He popped by, and he goes, dude, you know the question I get the most? And I was like, it's got to be Rescue 16.
Yeah.
He said Evan called him about it the other day.
Yeah, yeah. I think people are there. I think we should super troopers it. Like you know, we've got... We're coming up on the 10-year, and if we were to fucking have it out on the 10-year,
yeah,
like not necessarily 26, but maybe 25.
25 would be good.
It would be cool.
The only thing that I told him that I don't know is we had Nicolas Cage locked in, and we had him locked in for $500,000 for 2 weeks. I'm not. I think his quote is probably going up. Did you see his last movie? It was really fucking good, and it did well in the box office.
I feel like for $500,000, we can get a Nicolas Cage impersonator and deepfake it for those scenes.
No,
no,
you got to get the real
dude,
guy.
I think we could still get him for that price. I mean, especially if we tightened up the script, we really came down on like if we went back into it with us and went, okay, all right, here's how we're going to do this. Here's where we're going to do it.
Right.
And I mean, why not try and base it in Las Vegas?
Well, I got to cut you off and tell you some of the people who are coming with you on this Range 16 script, because that is a tier of our Patreon. And right now, 12B Vet, KTD,
boom.
Cameron Berryhill, Larry Kettle, Dan Hill, Pickle Rick, Kenneth
Waters,
Steven
Kabuka?
Giorgio, can I get another Bud Light, please?
Yes, you can. Yeah, Andrew Gill, Kenneth Witowski, Travis Adams, and Michael Jones, shouting all of you out for signing up to that $75 Rescue Range 16 script here on Patreon. I'm just going to interrupt the show, shout you all out because you keep me employed.
Oh, did you send it to him?
So what happened was with our shows and the issues with YouTube, obviously, we moved half of our videos over to Patreon. We're like, look, you want to keep the lights on and keep everything going, you got to have the Patreon on Drinking Bros Podcast. It's only $5 a month and you're good, right?
Yeah.
So with that, the higher tiered members get to read Rescue 16 because that script was written, I think, I know that I turned it in December 1st, 2016. I finished it. Yeah.
I have thought about
so they get to read
up Zone 15. Like to just let people read the first rewrite you did for $15,000.
Yeah.
Most money I'd ever spent on anything in my life.
How that has changed.
And my quote is 100. I know. Yeah. That's crazy.
No, dude. So the first time that he was coming out to do this, like number one, like I hadn't met, this was almost 2013 or 14.
14. Yeah.
Ross was still in his 20s, right?
I hadn't met anybody. No, in 2014, no, he was about 40.
Nope.
No. I think he was just like late 20s at that time.
Yeah, 27 years old, 28 tops. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Had never met, you know, anybody from the town, if you will. So
Hollywood.
I went out and I threw everything away in my fridge. And then I restocked the fridge like it was a store. So like there was like Red Bull, Fiji water, sparkling Perrier.
You treated him like an Insta-thought.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but I like in my head, you know, at the time, I thought that's what people from Hollywood expect is you have to like have everything very perfect.
Foz water.
And I also like I didn't know how this was going to go. Like this guy says he's coming in to write our script, you know, and a year prior to that, I had held a premiere party for one of his movies, having not even known him at that point. And the only reason I knew him was because at that premiere party, I was so excited for the movie. I sat through the credits and I kept seeing his name pop up multiple times in the credits. And I started realizing that the same dude wrote, directed, and then starred in this movie that I had been waiting 6 months for. So I'll rewind a little bit.
For sure.
It was, I was watching Red Band trailers because I loved watching indie trailers because, I mean, back then that's what I was doing for fun. Is
you
making,
could watch like 10 to 20 movie trailers, kill an afternoon.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And
it was, I remember if you're going back to FDR American Badass, it was God Bless America.
God Bless America is the one that I came across that was about a week out from releasing. And so I waited for that, and then I saw the trailer for FDR American Badass and was just like, holy shit. So I showed Butch Rogers, who was the lead anchor of our fake news team, and I was like, dude, look at this movie. It comes out in 6 months. And when it came out, we all had a party at my house because I had the photo studio in the garage, and we just put the projector in the garage on the white backdrop. And we all watched FDR American Badass. And then when it was over, I looked at the credits and then I searched him on Facebook. I just fucking harassed the fuck out of him until he gave me his phone number.
And I did. And then he said, hey, we're a group of veterans. I got this script and everything else. I'm looking through old photos.
You're missing a chapter.
I know. But here's the thing. I'm looking through old photos. Do you remember the video we shot of you and I hugging at the airport? And God, there's a million fucking photos in this goddamn
thing. I mean, I've got the footage of us at the table when we first read through Zone 15. Yeah, because remember Cody wasn't there and you made that video for Cody?
That's right.
Oh, no. Cody was there. You made the video for Matt because Matt was deployed.
Yeah.
Because Cody picked you up from the airport.
Yeah.
And so I get him to respond to me on Facebook. I say I want to interview him about the movie for a big Facebook page that I had, which I did. And I interviewed him and I wrote this big fucking write-up about the movie on the Facebook page. And back then, there was no filter, so it got like fucking 1,400 shares on just a written piece about FDR American Badass. And then a bunch of people were like, fuck, this movie exists? Fuck yeah!
Yeah.
like it was awesome. So that kind of bought, you know, it bought me another response from you. Because I came through on the press.
The body collector. You've always collected bodies and put everybody together. And I've always said this, like, if it weren't for you, I don't, Range 15-1 would never have gotten made. You wouldn't have found me. If it weren't for you, Black Rifle Coffee would not be a thing at all. Because you were the one that put Matt and Evan together. You also put Article 15 together. That was you as well. All of this started through you.
I just bring everybody in.
You bring everybody together.
Who's got ideas? Oh, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Exactly. And then after that, you're like, cool, man, I'm bored with this. Now I want to do Mark Hard, the gym, and do a Mark Wahlberg gym, and I understand that.
Yeah, because you know what? Like, F45 is missing, you know, a layer. Like, you know what I mean? He just doesn't have that. I get it. I get it. He, you know, he built his gym. But now I built my gym off of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not off of F45.
No, not at all.
Because I want to be Mark Hard.
And by the way, do you know why I enjoyed you guys so much after all of this?
No.
Because usually you get to know somebody this much. You do a podcast or your friends in real life or whatever. My real hatred from people comes from doing a movie with them. You spend so much time, and everybody usually has their own creative input and everything else, that you're just like, I fucking hate this person all the way around. That script, when we were sitting at the premiere, and I think the first time we watched it was in Washington, D.C., on a big screen in front of like a huge theater that was going nuts, right? I thought, out of all the things that I've done, there was only a couple, like out of the 30 movies that I've done, there was two that I think that the people went into it writing the script with the intention of what it was supposed to be and then what it turned out to be. And for me personally in Range 15, which is why I love it so much, that was your initial idea. That was your brainchild, everything else. And then I just helped you rewrite it essentially at that point to get it to where it needed to be. But I thought the end product reflected what you were trying to do, what everybody else was trying to do. You can always go back and nitpick things of like, oh, hey, I wish I had a bigger budget for this.
Yeah, but we didn't know then.
Nobody knew.
We didn't know.
But still to this day, when that movie comes on or somebody comes up to me and they said, hey, I love this, or can you do the ooh into the thing? Like, always, because I love that film, because it's very rare from an idea to a script to the final product that it turns out to what it should be. Whereas I've had films that I did that I was like, ah, shit. That was wrong or incorrect or whatever, right? But I thought that one, you guys got it right, just with a few budgetary things where you're like, all right, sweet, who gives a shit about that?
Yeah.
And then even finding money in post where you got those songs and all that other stuff, like it was great. And it's very, very rare that that happens where it's like, great, I'm proud of this movie. This was that guy's, out of this guy's mind. That's what he wanted it to be, and I think we executed that.
Yeah, it was exactly what the initial idea was.
Right.
This is a...
And so previously, I don't think you know this story, but I had a movie in Sundance that had 80 million celebrities in it, and it was me and like Winona Ryder and Joseph Fine, Juliette Lewis, Wilmer of Amarama, Metallica
it's
was
like
in
a
it.
Thousand they played Ways to Die or something.
Yes, it was Darwin Awards.
Darwin Awards.
And that, I had read the book, and the book was a bestseller, and I thought it was great. And I was like, oh man, I'm all in for this. And then I read the script, and I was like, oh man, this is going to be awesome, and I can't wait to do this. And then I sat at the premiere at Sundance, and I was like, oh my God, this movie fucking sucks. And it was nothing like the book, what the script was, what the actors wanted it to be. And I was sitting next to Winona Ryder and Juliette Lewis at Sundance, and we were watching this. And I remember Juliette Lewis, because she was super loud, and she's the best. Like, she's fucking hilarious. And she goes, what the fuck is this? And I'll never forget it. And I was like, what is this? And after that, and that was in, I think, 2008, I was like, oh, it is possible that you have a good script, you have a great cast, but the movie doesn't turn out.
Fuck it up.
Yes. And you can fuck it up in post. And so for that, I thought from start to finish, that's what that film should have been out of what you designed it to be and everything else. And yes, you can wish you had more money for stuff. But I thought, because we watched it, I think Jack and I did a thing on Patreon for it, where we watched it and gave our thoughts. And like, to this day, I love, love, love that film. Where there is movies that I've done that I did not love at all, even though they were mine. And there was just things that I couldn't correct in post or during shooting that got away from me or whatever. But that one was true to what it was from the beginning. When we sat down at your table, you had no furniture in your fucking house.
I didn't.
And it was a blast.
Like, we did. We remember you and I fucking went through probably 3 bottles of Sky that night. Like just, because you didn't leave until like 3 a.m.
No.
Like Vincent Marcus showed up.
Yep. And we just kept going.
Yeah.
And because you and I are unstoppable. Like, because you're the same as me. You won't know we're wasted until it's fucking dark hours. And the dark hours are like 4 or 5 a.m., but everybody's gone already, so who cares at that point?
Yeah.
And so as we were going through this, I thought it could be fucking great. And then the podcast itself, I loved since episode 1. Like, I knew what that was and how good it could be after episode 1. It was Pegging Explained.
Yeah,
And I was like, that could be great. But along the way,
nuke the ruse,
all of it. But along the way, if you really look back at it, since look, there's 7 years we've been doing the show, 7 year anniversary of the show.
Yeah, but you and I also too. If you looked from 2015 to middle of 2018, you and I never missed an episode.
We never missed an episode, and by the way,
not once.
I don't think we've ever changed in real life. I don't think we've ever changed. Whereas everybody else had different wants and things, like, and not in a bad way. I'm not saying it's a bad way, a negative way at all. But like Rocco wanted to be a movie star.
TV, guess what? He like is everything. Yeah.
He is. Yeah. And so we're all amped at Rocco's success, and that's fucking awesome. Evan and Matt, the Black Rifle Coffee and everything else, and you wanted to do it with them and everything else. Yes, but once you did it, then you were like, "Hey, dude, let's get back to some shit that I want to do. I want to do some stuff with Travis Pastrana and everything else." Mm-hmm. Like everything you're doing now. Was shit that you were amped about then, and then France Press and everything else.
I mean, even like Snake Farm.
Yes.
You know, this comes out in the first week of December. It's a skateboard company that's
your dream
team with.
I'm so jealous, by the way. Like this is something where you actually see me being like, holy, that's cool. Like you're doing everything that like young me and my friends wanted to do with a camcorder, jumping off stuff, like imitating all the people that we thought were cool back then. Like it's just great.
But he's the guy that you hope with money does the cool shit that you want him to do, right? Where and they've been on the show, so it's not a fucking huge mystery. I have a lot of friends that are very successful in life, but they don't do those type of things. Where I can genuinely say, like with me, I'm married to the person I want to be with, the kids and everything else. And then you design all this stuff and the seltzer and everything else. To the way you want it to be, and you love life and everything, but you still have to deal with meetings and all that other shit on the back end.
Management.
Yes.
Everything.
And it sucks. But with you now that you're kind of a little bit out of the weeds in that, now you can really create and do the fucking crazy shit where it's mariachi bands doing Post Malone. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll have live reindeer at your house for Christmas.
Probably.
Which will probably be there for that. Because we're staying here. So.
But again, it comes down to one of those things of like, who cares about staring at a number on your fucking computer screen?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, but you have to get there in real life. And that's what I've told like real people still, where they're just like, hey,
but it also is a sliding scale because I talked to a bunch of young kids at Attack V Squadron recently, and they were like, what advice would you give us at this time?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you all need to get together with like 4 of you. Go buy a house together. Like you're all living in stupid apartments and bullshit like that. Go buy a house with some land and then build your own bar, build your own fun. And even if it's fucking like when we were walking around my new bar, I'm like, dude, all in right here, you're still under $15,000. But when you start really spreading that out, when your lifestyle in your young 20s and stuff like that, you go out and eat dinner and you fucking stay at the bar, it's $100 each night. It's $500 a week.
Probably more like, now.
Probably way more than that. It's $2,000 a month. So you're saying that you can invest, you know, 8-9 months worth of money that you already go spend, and you don't necessarily think of it like that because it's so in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have this at home. You're not getting in trouble. You're fucking putting everything on your own terms, and you're having a lot more fun too.
And you're creating.
Like,
yeah, you're creating shit. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And even with you, you did it before all the property and land exploded and everything else. So like you just bought the biggest chunk of land with a huge.
But and then the whole thing is nothing's changed though. My house was always the center point for everybody.
Yeah.
So even when we had nothing, like How many times did we hang out in that garage that had like a futon, a couch we found at a dumpster, a whiteboard, and then the Drinking Bro set? Like, yeah. How many nights were spent on that thing with him fucking hammered on a fucking futon?
Yeah.
Like it's never changed. I just started learning, understanding like, hey, this is how this stuff goes. So I just started modifying the way I lived to match how we actually lived.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And it really hasn't changed. No. Like, people.
He's still
don't
on my
understand.
Fucking couch half the goddamn time.
Can you pan back to Jack? As I think he just walked in. Jack's back.
Jack,
there.
Lean in over there.
Lean
yeah.
in. There it is.
Yeah.
So they know you're yeah. real. Oh my yeah. God, that's right. He still
Jack
has the blonde
Mandeville,
hair.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, people out there that have seen Range 15, it is real life. I see Jack once a week, if not once every 2 weeks. He stays, we get fucking blackout and he stays at my house.
Yeah.
And, I see Matt every week.
Caleb Francis lives
Caleb,
with you, I think.
Caleb lives, yeah, yeah. I built him his own place above the Marquard gym.
I love that guy, by the way.
He's a fucking amazing.
He's an amazing human. I'm a huge fan of him.
He's a content machine.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is he?
And, dude, the thing is,
every time a camera is on him, I am just laughing. I enjoy what he's doing. Nothing is too serious. Everything's
no,
great.
He's
like, I love Caleb.
He's great. He only pops up in my feed. Every couple of days.
But
I always tell him, I go out of my way to tell him, I'm like, hey, dude, I love your shit. Like, it really makes me fucking laugh. Like, for real. And he's like, oh, fuck, I appreciate it. He's always
when
the
he does the little two characters
world.
When he's talking to God.
Oh, dude.
Like, him God and makes him have to poop.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Were you starstruck with, like, Travis and those guys because they were your heroes growing up? Like,
well,
Travis Pastrana?
Yeah, at first. But, like, Travis was the first movie, like real star I ever met. And it was early on. It was like 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first famous person I'd ever met in my life.
He's
where
a different
was
level
it?
Of famous, though, too, right?
Yeah, where was it?
This is a fucked up story. It's really funny. No, it's good. I get. I love giving people credit for these things because, you know, everything is still like the way it is because of these specific people. So Nate Wessel, you had him on the show.
Yep.
Street Bike Tommy.
Yep.
Like, Street Bike Tommy, a lot of people don't know, Street Bike Tommy is a drywall expert. Like, he's a drywaller.
He's a messiah, yeah.
That's what he did as a trade. Travis had put out this message in Maryland of, it was the Godfreys, Greg Godfrey and Travis had put out, like, do the craziest shit you can think of and show us your tapes and we might put you in the first Nitro Circus movie. So Street Bike Tommy is like out on his Hayabusa doing all these fucking tricks and everything. And he's filming it and he goes and buys this old like fucking Caprice and crashes it. Or I think it's his grandma's. He crashes it into a tree. Like he's trying to get in the movie. You keep showing him these tapes.
Yeah.
And then somebody calls him one day. He's like, hey, Travis is out of town. You should come fucking backflip the street bike into the foam pit.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that happens.
And it's all in film?
Yes. Street Bike. Yeah, that's when he misses the foam.
Yeah,
pit.
Yeah. Doesn't he miss the foam
pit? It's one of the most viewed videos on the internet to date.
It's
like
a bad fall, too. I mean, it's a bad crash.
Like, dude, pull it
I
up.
I watched it.
Street Bike Tommy.
Pull
fucking,
it up if you can.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this as well, where I was just like, oh, boy,
dude,
why did this fucking guy do
this? This was before YouTube, but this video was going around on the internet.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Holy fuck, somebody missed the fucking foam pit.
Yeah, how do you do that?
He broke both his ankles.
And everybody
ankles.
And so Travis said, you're good? Like, in after this?
Well, yeah, so they were like, oh my God, this guy fucking, like, and then they reviewed his footage, and yeah, they brought him in, and it's like, it's Street Bike Tommy. Like.
Yeah.
So, and then.
Yeah, here we'll play go. Right here. Yeah. Let's do this thing.
Welcome back.
No,
I'm
no,
Eric
this
Broder,
is it.
And this
That's
is Nitro
Eric. This
Circus's
is when they used to do
Oh, shit.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Today we're going to take a look at probably the
Who's
most legendary
right
crash.
That's Eric Roner. He was a skydiver.
And it
okay.
comes
he got killed quite a few years ago.
He did.
Yeah. He's
Street
one of their
Tom.
Best friends ever to
yeah,
everyone.
To
gotcha.
Now Street Bike Tommy likes to think of himself as a professional.
He was
athlete.
Slender back then.
He was in good shape.
Yeah,
he used
I didn't
to talk
know that.
A whole lot of shit. In fact, so much shit, he finally got himself an invite.
By
to
the
Travis
way, his street
and
bike is wrapped
street bike
in
Tommy made
fur.
Like, is it really?
Yeah.
To this day, it's still debated whether Tommy was trying a front flip or a back flip. Now, Tommy will take it to his deathbed that he was trying a front flip.
I think it's a front flip.
We all know that wasn't the case.
No, his bike is wrapped in Cheetos.
I understand that. But was it a front flip or a back flip?
What are you going to do?
I'm saying it's a front flip.
Back flip, baby.
On what?
Jixxer 1000 all furred out.
He said back flip.
Jixxer 1000 all furred out.
Oh, God damn it, dude. Damn it. Watching this.
I don't know if that hurt Tommy more or the ground.
I thought he was dead, by the way, at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
go
it.
Go back to the video. Oh, wait, hang on.
Yeah. He landed on some plywood.
His shoes fell off. How you doing, Tom? You're the man, Tom.
They should just put that plywood
Tommy
over.
Tommy never went on to do a front flip on a street bike. He did sink himself far enough into the cement.
God.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, circus superstar.
Well I remember played, where sorry. I was when I saw this. Yeah.
Well played.
So Wessel and Tommy, they both, you know, Wessel's master carpenter, master fucking fabricator.
Because he was building all the ramps,
yeah,
jumps,
dude,
all
did
stuff,
everything.
Yeah.
A pro BMXer and everything. But both him and Tommy were big gun guys. Mm. So one afternoon at Travis's house, after they did something, they were all up in the bar. And Wessel and Tommy pull up Matt's channel. And they're like, look at these guys. Look at these guys. And Wessel turns to Travis. He goes, use your fucking star power to find these guys. We need to hang out with them.
All off of Matt Best's channel.
Yeah.
That's funny, dude.
Videos. And so a week, 2 weeks go by. And Travis is showing one of our videos to somebody at a rally.
Okay.
And at the time, Bucky Lassick was on Team Subaru with
Pro
Travis.
Skateboarder?
Yes.
One of the best in the biz?
And then one of the guys that volunteered to help Bucky's race team was Paul. Like, you know Paul.
Oh, yeah, I know Paul. Yeah.
So Paul lived in El Paso. I filmed a fucking video of Paul in his Subaru before I had even met Matt. So Paul knew me. Because I used to hang out with him in El Paso.
Got it.
So Paul goes, I know them.
Yeah.
And Travis was like, what? He's like, I know them. He's like, give me their fucking phone number. So Caitlin was pregnant with Charlotte. I'm active duty E5 in the Air Force. And I'm in bed. It's 11:30 at night. They're on the West Coast, so I guess it's only 10:30. A FaceTime comes in from a fucking Maryland number. I'm like, I didn't get random phone calls then, let alone FaceTimes. Mm-hmm. So I answer it, and it's Travis Pastrana. And I'm fucking in bed, shirtless.
And what year is this?
2013.
Holy shit, dude.
And I'm like, hi?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, your shirt's off. I'm like, I was in bed. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. He was like, can you get to L.A. tomorrow? It's 11:30 at night.
No shit.
I'm like, what? He goes, can you get to L.A. tomorrow? I'm like, fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Hey, guys, go to hardafseltzer.com. Get some 8% seltzer shipped right to your house. The peach, the lemon lime, the strawberry shortcake, and the blue raspberry. No carbs, no sugars, no gluten, if you give a shit about that. We are live in over 100 stores in Tennessee. Four just opened up. Go to hardafseltzer.com today and check your store locator or order them right to your house.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com.
He goes, all right, when you land, text this number, and I'll tell you where to meet. I was like, okay. So I call my boss, who's an E7, Michael Shropshire. Very, very cool guy. Gotta give him a shout out.
Obviously. Yeah. I'm assuming he gave you the time
call
off
to call him at 11:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I go, Travis Pastrana just called me. He goes, what? Why? Yeah. I'm like, he asked me if I could be in LA tomorrow. He's like, I'll sign you out on leave. Go. I just want to hear the story.
That's fucking awesome.
So like, he literally is like, just go. I get You know, I like dial up on AOL because it's 2013.
Sure.
And I get online and go to Southwest. There's a direct flight from El Paso to LA in the morning at like fucking 9 or 10. Get that. I roll to the airport, fly, land. There's no such thing as Uber this year, so I get in a taxi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, in LA, where am I going? And I just get an address. So I get in a taxi.
Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Yeah, show him the address. He has a TomTom, throws it in. We're off. As we pull in.
Can I pause real quick and guess the cab fare?
Yeah, was it?
Sure.
I'm 235.
I was going to say. I was going to say 210.
What?
Because you know it's somewhere way away from
the cab fare had to have been $210.
No. I was literally going to Long Beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. We were on the same wavelength. I thought he was going to Santa Clara. Okay. I was like, yo, that's going to be a $200 cab ride. And I thought you were going to freak out over that.
No.
Okay.
And so I get out of the cab, and I'm standing at the loading dock of the donut garage of Hoonigan headquarters. And on the loading dock is Kit Cope, Ken Block, and Bucky Lassick. So no I shit. Just get, I have been called at 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
I'm told to get to LA by Travis Pastrana. I fucking fly on a whim, get signed out by leave from my boss, told to go. And I show up at the fucking donut garage, and I'm standing in front of Ken, fucking Kit Cope, and Bucky Lassick.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? And this is like after maybe like four or five videos have been out, like that me and Matt have been doing. So I'm just like, what the fuck?
Because at this point, you probably don't think anybody's watching this thing.
I mean, we knew that like the view counts were very good.
Do you know a celebrity's going to call you in LA and be like, hey, come
to
us?
Yeah. Like we knew that we were popular in the military, but not this. So now Ken immediately is like, oh, hey, what's up? And Kit was like, what's going on, man? I'm like, oh, shit, dude, I just got this address. Like, no clue what's going on. And Paul was there, and
And Paul was like, oh, this is JT from Article 15. This is what I was telling you guys about, all the military guys doing all this cool shit. And like, so Ken walks me around, shows me around. They had like the Gymkhana 2 car in there. They had Gymkhana 3 car. I think they were like, they'd either just finished with the Hunicorn or were in the process with the Hunicorn. And I was just like, dude, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. Like, what the fuck? This is wild. So we all get in a fucking car now. And it's me and Paul and Bucky and Kit and Ken, and Kit's driving. And I'm like, dude, I'm sitting next to Bucky.
Yeah.
Like, as a skateboarder that has grown up my whole life, my dad loving skateboarding. And I'm fucking sitting with Bucky in the middle seat. Like, what the fuck?
And he's a great fucking dude. Yeah. In real life.
So he's fun. The best. Like, everybody's fucking laughing and having a good time. And yeah. I'm just like, why am I here?
It's everything you hoped it would be. Probably as a kid when you watch the videos and you were like, hey, dude, are those guys having that much fun in real life? And then you meet him and you're like, oh, shit, they are.
And so we drive like maybe 10 minutes. We get to this hotel and it's like Subaru is having the post GRC, I think, or WRC, whatever the fuck it was, Global Rallycross then. They had finished.
Yeah.
The season was over. They're having this like rap party. And so they have the whole thing fucking reserved out. So we go to the back of the hotel. They've got catering and a fucking open bar and everything. Travis comes around the corner and just goes, holy shit. Holy shit. And he goes, weird question. Can I get a picture with you real quick? And I'm just like, what?
Yeah, with you.
Is
yeah.
fucking happening. And he takes his photo and he sits there and he's like standing right next to me as he's texting and it's like bump, 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 bump. And he sends it to like the group. And then like, yeah, Wesley's like, holy fuck, no fucking way, you found him. Holy fuck. Like, and then it was right after his he had two very small children. One was still like literally like 3 weeks old.
Travis.
So yeah. So he's like, hey, I'm going to eat dinner with my wife. Then my wife is going upstairs with the kids and then you and I are going to chat. And I'm like, okay. So I just sat there and like got food and ate. And then he came back down like an hour later. He was like, all right, let's go. And him and I went to the bar in that thing, that open bar. Yeah. And we did not leave.
He can fucking drink. Oh my God.
And I'd always joked about the Nitro guys. Leading up to this of, dude, if we could ever fucking get with them, like, dude, they have no clue. They've never fucking partied with real military dudes. Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. We were fucking slapping each other. We were fucking playing all these crazy games. Everybody's looking at us from Subaru, like, what the fuck are these two doing? Like, and we closed it down. We were the last two taking the last two drinks from the open bar that night. And he was like, that was fucking rad, bud. Save my number. And like I do it while we're standing right there. I'm like, oh, dude, cool, thanks. He's like, all right, good night, man. I'll see you later. And then I check in, like get a room at the hotel, go to sleep, and I fly home the next day. And then like literally, because the airport's right next to where my unit was, so like I got picked up by one of my guys, and I'm sitting in the fucking office now in uniform.
Do you have all the pictures and all that stuff to show your buddies?
There was only a couple pictures. Like, I mean, phone cameras sucked back then, sure. So I was like, oh, whatever. But I'm like, I'm sitting in the office looking at his contact card and everybody's standing around me. And I'm like, what do I do with this? They're like, I don't know. Okay, Travis's number. Like, what the fuck? Okay. And then just kind of like went on. And dude, like a week goes by and I get a random text from him. It's just like, hey, how's it going? And I'm just like, hi.
Yeah.
What's up? And then like, a couple months later.
Is it like a girl you're waiting to hear back from or you're like, dude, I hope he texts me?
not really, because I was more like in the mindset of, all right, he gave me his number. Yeah, I'll just be cool about it. And then no shit. Like all of a sudden it's like, hey, dude, what's going on? I'm like, oh, nothing. and then like a couple weeks go by and he's like, dude, can you come to Vegas in a couple of weeks? Like on this date? I'm like, yeah. Fuck it. I'm in. Yeah. One time, like he ran him. Well, this is later on and this is even fucking crazier. Like some of these stories are fucking weird. Cause like I'll fast forward to, 2016. I link up with, I think it was Paul that linked me up with this guy too. Like the actual like
photographer that was touring with Blink 182.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so we get linked up. He's like, all right, we're coming to Salt Lake.
Oh, we did that bit on the show with Blink 182. Yeah. And then he sends you a video. Was it Mark Hoppus?
No. This is later. This is before that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was, yeah.
That was a wild one, too, where it was just like, hilarious. Hey, Jared, you'll never fucking be me. And I was just like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Blink 182 sent you a personal video.
Badass.
Yeah.
But so this guy's like, hey, dude, guys are coming in to Salt Lake to play a big show. They want to go shooting. Can you take them? I'm like, absolutely. So like, we take their photographer out to the place that we're going to go shooting the day prior. We're like, all right, here's where we're going to go. Here's the guns we're going to bring, everything. He's like, all right, cool. It's all set up. But he's like, all right. So, Travis gets in at this time tomorrow. Mark and Tom show up here because Travis drives everywhere in his bus. And then the other guys flew in.
From the plane crash?
Yeah, he doesn't
Travis
fly.
Barker?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He doesn't fly anymore. Okay. So he's on the bus for everything. And he's like, all right, the guys will be here at this time. And he's like, so show up. You know, we had like two vehicles planned to like pick everybody up and have whoever was going to go with us and all that. And as I get home that night, I get a fucking call from Travis. And he's like, hey, bud, can you be in Vegas tomorrow? And I'm like, why? He's like, I've got the go-kart place rented out. Like, we're just going to rage and fucking race go-karts. And I was like, and dude, at this point, I had already done a bunch of shit with him. Like, dude, he randomly called me once, was like, oh, do you want a road trip up from Charlotte, North Carolina, back to Maryland with me and Tommy? I'm like, yeah. Like, so I had gotten all these times to like kind of hang out. And then, so like now I was torn between going to Vegas from Salt Lake, which is a fucking 40-minute flight.
Sure, it's easy.
And racing go-karts with Travis and the Nitro crew.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do I stay and fucking meet Blink?
You know the answer.
I went to Vegas.
You know, yeah, because go-kart is like an event.
No, that's not. That wasn't my thought process.
I gave him shit. I was like, you should have gone to see Blink 182.
Well, the thing was,
you should have met Blink.
Again, at that time, that was after Range 15 and everything. This was fall of 2016. So I had met a lot of celebrities at that time. I had done a bunch of,
There was a million in that movie. There was a ton in Range 15.
What I was worried about and how I fucking put it through my head was, I know I'm going to go to Vegas and it's going to be fucking awesome with Travis and Wessel and Tommy and everybody from the Nitro crew. Jolene was there. Like, everyone was there.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to go to Las Vegas and we're going to fucking rage our asses off. Like, we're going to drink like we're fucking idiots.
Yep.
And we're going to race go-karts. It's going to be fun. I don't know what Blink's going to be like. I don't know if they're going to be miserable, if somebody talked them into this, if they're really not into it, or if they kind of just do the, oh yeah, cool, yeah, nice to meet you.
We've all had those experiences where it's just like, it is. I hope at least they would have been rad. And that's why I pushed you to do the Blink thing, where I was like, I think they're rad in real life.
I bet they would have.
But I don't know them. I don't know any of them, actually.
Like, I was still new with Travis at that time. Like, we hadn't really clicked as like really close friends. So it was like, I knew I would have the time of my life, like, going and doing that. And then, like,
you could have heard the time of your life if you hung out with the other guys.
Yeah, with Green Day. I hope you had the time.
I didn't know. It was also like, if you think back to late 2016, that was kind of when they all weren't very fond of each other. Like,
no,
dude,
it might have been a toxic vibe.
Like, yeah, man. Like, especially when their photographer was explaining to me, like, oh, they're all on separate buses and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like, eh, you know, like.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
I like the dudes that are cool.
And a lot of bands are like that, where it's just like they're separated. They're all on separate buses.
I know.
They're not really friends in real life.
Yeah, the vibe isn't like it was.
You
in
got
the
to
80s
go go-karting with some of the best extreme motor athletes of all time.
Yes, that's why I don't, regret this decision at all.
When you
because
said
it was fucking hilarious.
And
by
Mark Hoppus did send a fucking video and said, hey, dude, fuck you, Jared. You'll never be me. So we got to post it on the show and everything else. So like,
but when you ask him about the being starstruck by Travis, like, like motorsports was here, and then Travis took it to here. Like, it was like a big gap. Like, he's famous and he was good and like won all the things, and there's Tony Hawk's and like they're all the other people, like Chris Cole's of the world. But he just like kept moving boundaries.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. So like, out of all the movies I've done, the only thing my friends from Ohio State have been impressed with was doing a movie with Tony Hawk. And so when I put Tony Hawk on the phone, that's when my friends were like, oh shit, dude, you've made it. And like, there was nobody else.
The Usain Bolt of like extreme sports kind of thing.
That was it. They were like, when I put Tony on the phone, that was, hey dude, you've made it and congratulations, this is fucking amazing. And then I don't know if you're friends of this, but like mine geeked out and they were like, hey, I'm playing Tony Hawk skateboarder as we speak. Can you give me some codes? And Tony gave all the fucking codes on the phone to my roommates. And they were, I mean, they played and they were like, no fucking way. We unlocked all the things. And that was probably the coolest celebrity moment besides I had Eddie George in a movie from Ohio State. And I was like, that's a onesie-twosie. But there's the only two people they've ever been impressed with. Like, other than that, they said no to all my premieres. I was like, hey, I got tickets. I got limos, all this shit. They're like, we don't care. Tony Hawk changed the game. Travis is one of those guys as we were growing up, like that changed it, that changes the game. And I understand that.
Like, one time I had flown out there probably in like 17 to just hang out with Tommy, just because Tommy, you know, once me and Tommy met, like, it was, you know, I'm the fat funny guy of our group, he's the fat funny guy of their group. And so I land in Maryland and I get an Uber and I show up at the house and I'm like, hey, where you at? Like, cause Tommy used to live on Travis's property.
Yes. House. Yeah. At the front, right?
No, it was like on the side, his backyard went into the whole Pastrana.
Right.
And so he was like, oh dude, here's where the key is. I got stuck in Europe or something like that. I'm not going to be back until tomorrow morning because my flight got delayed.
Wasn't it like a trailer in front of his fucking house? Like a trailer?
No. Home. This is fucking nice.
Oh, he had a real home?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
The way Tommy described it was a little different.
No, yeah. It's a cool fucking place. I liked it. I spent many nights there, man.
Well, you don't care where you stay. That's the difference.
I don't.
You will literally sleep anywhere, anytime. Like, you don't have to class it up for Jared Taylor.
No.
You will sleep on
just
a fucking floor.
No pet hair. That just makes my nose itch and then I get irritated.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I like, there's always somebody down at the shop because, you know, that Nino and Hubert like take care of the whole place. Mm-hmm. So there's always, they're going to be there. So I, you know, it's like 5 or 6 in the evening and I'm like, I'm going to go walk down to the shop at Pastrana Land and see if Hubert or Nino is there. And as I'm walking back through the woods where the giant quarter pipe is, Travis is just laying there. He's supposed to be in Europe for like another like 2 weeks, which I already knew because we're all like on the group text and everything. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he was like, dude, my flight got pushed up. Lindsay and the kids don't get in until tomorrow. He's like, and everybody else got delayed. He's like, but mine like took off. And I was like, oh shit. He was like, all right, let's fucking go up to the bar.
Yeah.
So we went up to the bar and watched Down Periscope.
Why Down Periscope?
Because we wanted to. It was fucking awesome.
Isn't that Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah. And then we watched McHale's Navy.
Oh, the remake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That came out right after that.
But it was like one of the funnest times. Again, this was kind of early on. It was just like, this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is hilarious. Oh, we got wrecked too.
So did you think about then to now that you'd ever get to work with him in this capacity at Black Rifle?
No, because I never had it in my head that we were going where we were going with Black Rifle. I mean, it was always one day at a time of like, oh, we're doing this. Okay, cool.
But literally one day at a time.
Yeah.
I didn't think you guys would ever get past, we've talked about this before in the past, not on the show, but I didn't think you would get past the word rifle.
Yeah.
And so that was the whole thing of like, man, are you guys stuck on that? Because you know every corporation, every investor, everybody else is like, hey,
everything.
Dude,
I mean, you got to look at
it. We love the veteran. We love the coffee. You got to take out the word rifle.
Yeah, you look at like back in 2016, 17, like NFL said, never in a million years will you guys advertise or nothing. Now we're the fucking title sponsor of the Dallas fucking Cowboys.
Yes.
Look.
And you're going to have. Exactly. And you guys are the craziest part about this is you guys are going to have dinner with Jerry Jones, who's the owner of the Cowboys, the most famous owner in sports. at his private restaurant. We've been there before, Dan and I. Dan and I will be at the Washington Commanders, a.k.a. the Redskins, doing the coin toss on the field. And it's like, for all the people, they said, hey, you can't be associated with the NFL on the same fucking weekend we're all associated with the NFL.
I know. I know. No, you guys fucking really want it with sports. And that's what, I mean, dude, do you remember how much I had to twist Dan's arm that he would be a good host?
Oh,
do
yeah.
Do you
I
remember
mean, look.
How many conversations you and I had when I kept saying, I have to drag Dan onto a show?
But he's an introvert and doesn't want to do it. And like in real life, he's the same way. So like his people ask, they're like, hey, man, where do you guys go party or whatever? I was like, Dan goes home, dude. Like, I don't, you know.
The, he just the goes, whole, nope.
That's it. And the whole thing with him, because a lot of people don't believe that he has Asperger's, too, where it's just like, no, he's just a smart guy. I was like, no. He is a smart guy, but, like, he wants to go home. He doesn't like people. Mm-hmm. Doesn't like being hugged, touched, everything. And so there was a couple times in my life where I've hugged him where I'm like, hey, dude, just to do it. You know, yeah. And he's super uncomfortable with it. And all that stuff, and it's good for a working relationship because you never get burned out of the people, especially when you're doing a daily show, which is, you know, it's a grind, like for real. Like a daily show is tough, especially when you're doing multiple shows and then managing multiple shows and all the other stuff. So it works out for that. However, when people meet Dan in real life, it's the same way. They're like, oh shit, he doesn't really want to hang.
Like, do you remember when I kept telling you that he would be so good at, like, because remember before you had never done a show or you never really listened to him and I kept talking him up.
Yes.
You're like, no.
But here's the thing.
You're just like, there's no way nobody's that good or that like.
They're
like,
not. Yeah. And if it wasn't for Parks and Recreation, I've told him this on the show. I said, I didn't know how that dynamic would work because I'm a Leslie Knope where I'm super high, huge
and
energy.
You've got fucking
Ron Swanson.
The cloud.
You've got the dark energy of like, all right, great. This will work. And then the way that it worked out over the years, because as Black Rifle exploded, you guys had to do more and more stuff with them.
Well, wasn't the first thing, like, we brought him in on news first.
News and then sports.
Once you realize that he knew everything about sports.
Yes.
And
news as well, where it got to the point where I was just like, all right, cool. If we're going to do this, I knew that I had a guy that's intellectually, we could beat anybody. And then comedically, I was faster than everybody.
So we would be able to talk all the shit. He would shut us up to give the facts.
Correct.
We would talk shit. Yep. He would shut us up to give the facts.
And I knew it could work at that point. But you're right. If you meet Dan in real life, you don't get it. You're just like,
dude, I used to like try and explain him to people of the things that we would do. Like, you know, when we lived together and he went to buy the shotgun that was on sale at Walmart. And beforehand, he grabs a cart and puts in chain and shovels and fucking ski masks and all this. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm just going to have all this stuff in the cart when we go ask for that shotgun. And he gets a fucking hacksaw. And he goes up, he's like, hey, those Mossbergs were in the flyer. I'd like one of those. And the fucking girl looks at our cart. She's like, I can't sell you this. He goes, show me what law says I can't buy one thing with other things in my cart.
No way. She goes
and gets the manager. And he's like, well, I don't know about it. And he gets out his concealed carry card. He goes, that'll alleviate or speed up the process.
I didn't even know that story.
Yeah.
No fucking
way. We
did this
in 2007.
Did they let you check out?
Yes.
Shut up. You were committing.
Well, dude,
you could
have
committed mass murders at that point.
He bought the shotgun, and then he's like, and then the manager was like, all right, you want me to ring all that up? He goes, no, I just fucking put all this in the cart to fuck with you. And that was it. Like, he'd already bought the gun, so he's like, see you later. And we just left the cart.
Oh, so you left the cart and just took the gun?
Yeah.
So funny, dude.
Dude, it was. But this is the shit that we were doing when it was just him and me.
Yeah.
Like,
when did you guys first meet? What year was that?
2007.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys served.
Here, I've got the photo.
Overseas,
I'll text it to Giorgio real quick.
Oh, boy.
This is my favorite photo. I watch it every, I see it every like year or so.
It's Dan without the beard, right?
Dan's face doesn't look like Dan. Like, I mean, it is Dan, but it's just like, it's hard for me to look at.
And he's not here today because he's at a very special dinner with the head of the Commanders, who might not be there in a couple weeks because the team's for sale.
Pretty low valuation.
Why so is the team no, for sale?
It's $5.6 billion.
Oh, God.
So what happened was the guy illegally taped cheerleaders in the locker room.
Oh, that's why they're selling it.
And then was showing them to the investors and everything else. Then there was what? A bunch of racist shit, too, on top of it. And
so we had hidden cams and racism.
Oh, he didn't want to change the name of the Redskins. And the rumor is, so we're going to test this out on Sunday, but by the time this airs, we'll be gone from there, so it doesn't matter. But here's the thing. Yeah. I'm going to wear the Redskins jacket in there with him, and so we'll see what he actually says, because I don't care after this.
Well, no, the thing is like, I thought I heard that the chief of the Indian tribe that they made the deal with back in the 50s is the ones that named it.
That's true.
So why are we changing it?
The NFL wanted it changed, and like they're the most powerful organization there is, pretty much, because of ratings. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. The NFL is the highest rated programming on all of television.
Probably anything that's left.
Anything.
Like, it's the only thing that keeps cable TV still alive.
Yes, the only live event that has the highest ratings there is. And even with Black Rifle, like, that's the smartest move you can make. With America's team, you show every fucking Cowboys game across the nation. Like, it makes sense.
I think we want to do something with the Steelers, too.
Oh, Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. So we've done a live show from the Steelers Stadium. It's a fucking blast.
They have the best fans.
By the way, the fans are amazing. The people there are amazing. Is. Like, we're huge fans. Pop this up on screen. What year is this?
That is no kidding. March of 2007.
Holy fucking shit, dude.
Jared, you look like someone I would have smoked weed out of a can with in the back of
like my name's Matt Hume.
Yeah.
like, hey, come try ayahuasca behind this fucking gas station.
You sell hemp necklaces that you stole from a Paxton out of the back of your car.
And that's what Dan looks like without a fucking beard, dude. Like right there. That's the only photo I've ever seen with him without a beard, I think.
I got video of us. Like, I got video.
How much fucked up shit did you guys do together back in the day?
Oh, dude, like, we fucked our battalion up. Like, I mean, him and I emptied chem lights, like, into water balloons and launched them onto the strikers before they went on patrol, so they're glowing bright green. Like, and then we got away with it because one of the fucking privates, like, tracked glowing footprints back to his bed, so he took the brunt of the fucking hit.
Shut the fuck
up. Yeah, dude, we did a lot to, like, we just fucking were mischievous together. Like,
and then you guys stayed in touch all these years.
He moved in with me when we got home.
Really? What year was that?
2008.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, he lived with me and my first wife.
Caitlin?
No.
Oh, I didn't remember the first one. I didn't meet her. I didn't meet the first one.
So, he lived with us. The only thing on his bedroom wall that he had hung up was the warrant for his arrest for manufacturing like a gross amount of LSD.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Why don't we put that on set?
I've never heard that story either. Yeah.
That's really fucking funny, dude. He lives with all these weird fucking stories, and like, I have no idea. No, he doesn't say, he doesn't share anything.
He moved, like, once I left for Florida. He moved in with our buddy, like, right before that, and then I left for Florida. He got out of the Army about 2 years later, and he moved to California.
Okay.
And he moved to Oakland, and he started doing political things until he essentially got fired because he told him that what they were doing was illegal.
That's right. And then he did Homeland Security,
He was dating this fucking, this chick that was super bad for him.
Wow. That's a common theme.
Yeah. and then that's when he was working for Homeland Security in the investigative side, and then that's when I asked him to come to Vegas to meet Evan. I'm like, dude, we gotta hire this guy. He's super smart. Wherever we put him, he'll fucking kill it.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. I didn't know that.
I don't let people go.
Yeah. No. Is there anybody else longer than that?
Longer?
Yeah. Relationship-wise.
Dave?
Oh, fuck Dave, dude. Yeah. Is Dave still there?
1998.
That's impossible. Yeah. Dave's still
there. Should I give everyone a fire Dave real quick?
He's killing it.
Hashtag fire Dave. Does Dave have something over you? I've been convinced over the years that Dave has some weird sexual act where it's three dudes fucking you over you in a video.
No. Okay. We've lived together fucking 8 times.
Dave?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy to me. As I was like, let's fire fucking Dave. And he hated me too.
I know.
I don't give a shit.
I mean, that was that's the beauty of it.
He likes you now.
He's emotionless.
I don't think he likes me
now. He's completely emotionless from
it
all. He's like, ah, fuck it.
He's married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he's fuck it. Oh man, he would do things on purpose to piss you off, and it was, I egged it on.
I
gave him ideas.
Yeah, I never liked it.
Because he was my proxy.
No, I know. I know he was.
Dave had the best explanation for Jared that I've ever heard.
Oh, what God, I haven't heard this.
Yeah, he said, when a bunch of like 14-year-old boys are sitting around talking about what they'd do if they ever had money, you know, they all grow up, and even if they, you know, they get some money, they just kind of do grown-up things, where Jared is doing everything he said he was going to do at 14 years old.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So that's what you want. And this week in particular, it's been a huge topic of discussion on the internet, because the lottery is up to $1.5 billion.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so I'm
sorry.
I'm sorry. As of an hour ago, because Joel bought some tickets, $1.75 billion.
Jesus.
Is the lottery for Powerball, right?
So everybody's, and that's a nationwide lottery?
Well, I think it's in maybe 30 states. You can check it later. But
My God.
Either way, on the internet, everybody's asking what they would do with the money, because it has kept going. So it's been over a billion now for 6 days, and it just keeps going, of what you would do. And I forget who I was talking to the other day, and I go, the weird thing is Jared has already done the things that he's done. So like, that's the last guy to do it with. Mm-hmm. Whereas everybody else probably has a different kind of picture in mind, where you are actually living the things that you wanted to do. So I don't, with you, nothing would change.
I had a phone call this morning with the manager of Atreyu and Story of the Year, because I want to put on my own concert.
Story of the Year. Oh my God. Dave. Can you do it in the loo?
What do you think I'm doing?
Oh man, this is awesome. This is so great.
Look, oh man, I love it when they ask the why. Wait, so this is a private show? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not going to make any money? No, this is for me, man.
Shut the fuck up, dude. God. It's amazing.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm just going down my list, but I wrote the list in 1997.
Yeah, but it makes sense too, because like, is there anybody cool now that you would do shit with, where you're like,
dude, I would love, I mean, I feel like I've met everybody I've truly wanted to meet, and I've found who the cool ones are.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones that I think I really have left is Danny McBride.
So I met Danny. I know Danny. Edie is obviously working with him and writer with him. He's a great person, like, for real.
Yes, I think he wants to have a lot of fun.
But he does. But here's the thing: is like, he is a family man.
Yeah.
He's got wife and kids, and like, he is interested in staying out of the public.
Yeah.
I don't even think he has social media.
No, he doesn't.
Even when I met him in Wilmington, he's such a great person. But like, I don't think he really gives a fuck about any of that. So like, whatever you guys did would be in private, and no one
would
know about it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And the only other person that I think would be fun to pal around with is Paul Rudd.
I would have said Paul Rudd, but he just campaigned for Fetterman, so it's like,
what?
Yeah,
God, why do these guys, what?
I know.
What does he have to do with fucking Pennsylvania anyway?
So here's the thing. Like, me and my wife were watching, Jesse, we're watching a show called The Circus. It's a political show. It's on Showtime. They do it once a week. And I love Dave Matthews. I'm a big fan of Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews played a fucking concert for Fetterman.
Why?
Personally, the other night. And I was just like, and Jesse looks at me and she goes, oh, there's your boy. What are you going to do now? And I was like, fuck.
Dude, that,
like,
just shows that these people lack a fucking spine. Like, because no decent fucking adult with a job is going to look at Fetterman and go, I want that guy to fucking make decisions for my country.
And here's the thing. It's like, pre-stroke, maybe, right? I don't know, because I don't live in the fucking States. After stroke is the only thing I really know about him.
What do
those
two have to do with Pennsylvania?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Like, Dave Matthews is not from Pennsylvania.
No.
Paul Rudd is not from Pennsylvania. So it's like, all right, cool. Oprah just endorsed him today.
Dude.
So you're like, dude.
Oprah's fucking shady anyway.
I know. And by the time this airs, he would have already lost to Dr. Oz anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Is he going to lose to Dr. Oz?
Yes.
I hope so.
The polls that we got this morning, he was down by 2. And it's getting worse because they're Democratic polls. So, like,
yeah, they keep padding them.
Yeah. So by the time this airs, I could be totally wrong.
What do you think
wrong.
About Arizona?
Could be totally wrong. I think Carrie Lake is going to win for governor.
Yeah.
I think it's not going to be close. And I think the other guy is going to
be a landslide.
But I think I think hers is going to be a landslide.
Yeah.
I think the guy that's running against Kelly,
that
is going to be very close. And I'm going to say 1.8 points in that one.
No,
I think he'll win, but just simply of not because he's a great candidate. I think with Carrie Lake, she put herself out there enough.
Her opponent sucks.
Right.
Did you see Don Lemon ripping for the first time in Drinking Bros history? You guys saw it here on the fucking 8-7. What year? How many anniversary are we? 8 years?
7 years.
7 years.
Well, yeah,
2015 to 2-5-2-7. 7 year anniversary. I will praise Don Lemon.
What did he say?
Oh, he fucking held that stupid fucking bitch to the fucking fire.
Mm.
The one that's running
Hobbs.
Against, Katie Hobbs.
Katie Hobbs, yeah.
He's like, why won't you debate Carrie Lake? Oh, well, you know, I just don't. He's like, but why wouldn't you put her policies into the fucking dirt? Well, you know, I'm just above that. He's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you're hurting this for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, he was nothing short of being like, you are a fucking idiot and you just lost this for us.
And even Fetterman debated because you can't not do it at that point.
Otherwise, you look like a fucking clown.
Right.
I mean, what's this fucking next presidential debate going to look like?
Well, if you believe what you read, by the way, if you believe what you read, Trump is supposed to announce on the 14th.
Really?
That's what I read this morning.
Are predicting that?
That's what I read this morning.
And what? And what else?
Because he thinks, allegedly, this is all what I read this morning, so take it with a grain of salt. This episode airs later.
Yeah.
He believes that Republicans will win the House and the Senate, and then he's going to ride that momentum, announce his candidacy on the 14th, and then do rallies and everything for the next year and a half, and then go into 24 with that. So we'll see.
With the House, Senate, and the executive branch, and then we finally fucking turn the DOJ and investigate all the shit that all of us have been sitting around.
Correct.
Going,
and it also gets rid of his shit on the other side, where it's just like, hey, fuck you guys. So
where's DeSantis going?
So DeSantis doesn't want to run against Trump. And
no,
I understand
he shouldn't.
That. But it's
that would fuck us.
And he's very young. Like he's super young, so it's like he can sit it out. Because Trump is only gonna go 4 years.
Yeah.
If he gets in.
No more than that.
And he already did a term, so there's nothing you can do, right? Yeah. You can go 4 and then you're out. So with that, DeSantis, I think, knows those are the two top guys in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
We can't run against each other
and
nuke each other out.
After fucking
well,
2 years
the thing,
as a governor, 4 years as a governor.
They're saying she could be vice president.
Oh, that would be sick.
So if you got her in there, or Tim Scott, then, or if you paired her up with DeSantis for the next run, like.
Yeah, that would be a fucking killer pair.
Yes. So
I would hope that I get to see the vice president speak every day at that point.
She's great on camera, man.
Dude, the difference between her and fucking Kamala is like.
But
Kamala,
she also
idiot.
Did.
Carrie, you're hilarious.
Local news in Phoenix for 22 years. Yeah. And when you're doing that.
Oh, dude, you got power.
Yes. And you, of all people, can speak to this because, like, you have to set up your own video, you have to do your audio, you have to make sure you're editing everybody in the background, all that shit. Like, there is no more chaotic scene than local news. Which is a 12-hour day job,
also
and then
no
doing
more,
all of it.
If you want to talk about grassroots voters,
yes,
that have a relationship with you, it's fucking like
Carrie
it's
Lake.
Like
if, she knows
if Erica Castillo ran for public office in El Paso, Texas, she'd fucking win.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see.
That's exciting.
In the meantime, this was fun doing a 7-year anniversary episode.
Yeah.
Here's to another 7 more. Anybody you personally would like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'm going to give it to somebody way back when.
Okay.
Surprised me the other day that she listens to the show.
Who's this?
Her name's Nicole, a.k.a. Charlie Golf.
All right.
Charlie Golf, as in she was a cadet in a ground week washback in airborne school. We were in airborne school together.
Awesome.
She's the reason why I know where Furman University is.
No
when
way.
You were like,
oh, dude.
How the fuck do you know what Furman University is? Because she went to Furman.
Wow.
anyway, she's a CH-47 Chinook pilot in Hawaii for the last 20 years.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Flew helicopters. Now she's up Bragg.
Cheers.
So cheers, Nicole.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. I'll give it out to you.
I'll give a shout out. Yeah, I'll give a Drinking Bro of the Week out to all the OGs here. We got Rocco, Evan, Matt,
Dan,
even Dave.
Dan. Yeah. I mean, back
even
in
Dave.
Dave. Yeah. I mean, dude, this is
even
7
fucking
7
Dave.
Years of this that went from the kitchen
to the all,
garage,
all the shit. Yeah. Yeah.
To video.
Everything you're seeing here, yeah. You can cut to the wide and all the stuff. Maybe election show, Georgia. We'll show it all off on we'll go around. Yeah.
That mug has just been.
It sure has.
Become a thing.
It has.
Was there ever a microphone just thrown into a mug like that just from when someone was drunk?
There's fucking two dicks in there. I told Jay to put the dicks in there.
Yeah, there's three dicks total, right? There's the top and then the sides. And we got three dicks in the mug, and that's the joke of it. And like every time I wear this hat or the other one, sorry, it was for the other show.
It's
on the other desk. Whenever I wear that hat out, everybody asks, they're like, hey, man, is that a fucking dick?
I'm
like, it's a dick.
No, it's a dick.
It's three dicks in there, so you're welcome.
Trace dicks.
Yeah, trace dicks. Going down the side, rate the show on iTunes and leave a quick review. That is something we never asked about in the past, even though we were number two behind Rogan for two fucking years. He figured it out. We just didn't care, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's healthy. You're at over 3,000 now, right?
6,000?
That's good.
7,000?
I mean, it's
healthy,
a long-standing show.
But we never fucking asked until the last, like, 2 years. We were just
like,
hey,
review
the show.
I learned it from Andy Frisella.
I know.
Pay your dues. The
cost
of the show is
rated. I didn't fucking ask.
Rate it.
I never asked all these years. We were two behind Rogue, and we fucked it all up. Now Jason Bateman in Smartless is... number one. Number one, right?
This is Jason Bateman.
So Jason Bateman, who is it? Sean Hayes, and then who's the third guy?
Will Arnett,
yes. And those guys, like, I'll talk shit because I don't fucking care. They signed an $80 million deal with Amazon. They can't even make an hour. And so for advertisers, they always want you to go an hour, right?
Yeah.
Which we've never had a problem with, and I don't fucking care. They had President Biden on yesterday.
Oh, God.
And they didn't even go an hour on the show. 57 minutes on the fucking thing.
I'll defend them only in so much as Will Arnett is so fucking funny.
He's the best. Oh, so by the way, back in the day.
Were they fucking with Joe?
No, they were not fucking with Joe. They're all super left.
It's basically just like Jason asks questions. Will Arnett makes fun of Sean.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the guest will chime in.
So my second or third script that I was trying to sell, by the way, you'll love this, was to Will Arnett. I'd originally written it for Will Arnett. I was a huge fan, and I think it was his first season of Arrested Development. And my manager, Jason Bateman and I had the same agent. My manager had him as well, and I go, dude, Jason Bateman wanted to direct films at that point. I was like, great. They're best friends. Yeah. Let's get Jason the script. Let's get Will the script. Will said yes. Jason looked at it and he goes, no, I want to do more dramatic stuff. And I never understood it, right? I was just like, fuck, man. You're a comedian.
Right.
You're one of the funniest people on the planet. I love Jason Bateman. And I didn't get it. And then until Ozark came out, and I was like, oh, fuck. That's what you would always think else. There is... I mean, it's a caste system.
It's just
of, like,
a guilt thing.
It is. Oh, it is all a guilt thing, and that is it. Simply it. Like,
just because I've fucking gotten my fucking face drugged through the goddamn rocks my
right.
entire life.
Right, but you're different, whereas, like, dude, imagine just being an actor, and then you make a gajillion dollars, and then you see homeless people every single day.
No.
You feel guilty about your life.
So I've listened to probably, like, 20 of their episodes, because mm-hmm. my wife likes it.
Sure.
So when we're on drives.
Bunch of people like
Houston,
look, it's,
and
it's,
shit.
It's number one.
Like it,
now
it's fine. It's
now
not
that
bad.
Rogan is gone, it is number one. Yeah,
it's not bad. Like, it's not a bad show. It's just, they're just not podcasters.
Right.
But they had Seth Rogen on, and Seth Rogen was talking about how his dad's, like, a hardcore socialist or whatever.
Mm.
And I think Bateman in particular was like, so... How is your dad reconciling that with enjoying all the spoils of capitalism now that you're extremely wealthy?
Yeah.
And Rogan, like, which I thought was an interesting question,
that
considering.
That is a good question.
And Rogan was just like, he's just spending the money now, you know. So, yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, he just left it all behind.
Yeah. And that's typically what happens.
Yeah,
and
everyone's, like, full of shit.
Or the other people who move. And they get out of there, because you and I have Hollywood friends who have moved. We won't say who they are, because they'll get fucking blackballed. But they've moved out of there, and they're like, man, I just want to have a normal life with my kids and all that shit, which is what I did.
One of my buddies was with Sorbo the other day, and they were like, dude, he says what's up?
Fuck. Is he in Italy?
No, they were in Florida doing something.
Okay. Yeah, so he lives in Florida now, yeah. He's still the best.
But
still hilarious.
To everybody out there, you know, this will go up on... Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day.
November 11th. Mm-hmm. After I get back from that, like, I got to be out in San Diego for that, for our nonprofit, Veterans Experimenting Treatment Solutions. We are leading the way in legalizing psychedelic use for veterans with PTSD and TBI. After
in
that,
all states or just one particular state?
No, we're fighting the federal fight.
Awesome.
Yeah. And we're consistently sending people down to other countries that have treatment centers that are doing this stuff and really helping guys out. So knee deep in that. But when I get back, we should have the animated intro for France Press and, you know, tell us about this thing.
Absolutely, man. And yeah. So the animated intro for France Press will be out. We might have a new government then. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy times.
So that Friday, that next Friday, yep. Which is what, the 17th?
Yes, the 17th.
That one's going to be a fucking doozy.
Banger.
I'm going to bring my band in here this Saturday and...
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
let's go. They'll be in town. We're writing an album, so they'll come to the show with us.
Fuck yeah, dude. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. thanks for tuning in, kids. Go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review, and go to Spotify and leave a fucking review. Now that I've outed the secret of it, we never asked, and now, yeah, we're trying to play catch up. We appreciate the last 7 years of you guys listening. It's been just as fun for us as it has been for you. And we greatly appreciate all your support, not only for us, but all our products and BRCC and Hardy F. Seltzer and all that stuff. So we're extremely grateful and we love you guys. For Jared Taylor, I'm Ross Patterson. This is France Press Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.